You'll go back to be with your mom and dad. Okay? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, everybody, let's take our Bibles out this morning and open them to the book of Leviticus, chapter 3, the third book in the Bible, the third chapter of the third book. And we're going to look at the third offering this morning as we come to the Lord's table. And I want to show you how those things work together, but I want you to know I'm not preaching the sermon today, right? You've heard me say this before, and it's not just something I say. When we partake or we share the Lord's Supper, which is what we're going to do here in just a little bit, God's people preach the sermon, okay? You preach the sermon. Scripture says you show the Lord's death until he comes. And so this is a sermon in action. And so we all together are going to preach the sermon this morning. What I'd like to do is to spend a couple of minutes just meditating on the scripture. And my heart's desire is that we, as we preach the sermon, we might do it with, we might do it well. That we might be good preachers this morning. And the only way to preach the word is with a heart that's right with God. And the only way to preach it in a way that it makes sense. And so I want to start just by asking you a question. And that is this Lord's Supper. When you came in and saw that we were going to have the Lord's Supper, or maybe somebody handed you one of these, I hope that you have one of these. If you don't, before we do the supper, the ushers are going to come, and we're going to get you one, okay, because you're going to need one today. But when this was handed to you, you came in and saw, you know, something's a little different down here on the table, what were you thinking? When you had the thought, or when it dawned on you, or you realized, or whatever it was, hey, we're going to have the Lord's Supper today, what were you thinking, right? So were you thinking, the service is going to be longer today because Brother Greg's got to get his in, and then we're going to tack this on at the end, and so it's probably going to be after 12 before we get out of here. Is that what you were thinking? Now, come on, be honest. Yeah, some are going, yeah. Or were you thinking, you know, as you handed it, man, this is kind of weird. I mean, we hadn't done it this way all the time. What's that all about, right? So we've been doing it since COVID, and I'm looking forward to the day when we don't do it this way, and I know, or when we do it the old way, because I personally like the old way, I guess, because I'm old. And I know some people are going to say, well, Brother Greg, you're living in fear if you don't do that. And I know the ones who tell me that I'm living in fear. By the way, you don't need to send me an email or a text telling me I'm living in fear because of COVID, please. I've heard it all. Because most of us who think we're living in fear are the ones who carry guns and lock our doors and everything. That's not living in fear, but using these things for the Lord's Supper is, I understand that. Or maybe you were maybe you were thinking, hey, are we going to have a meal at the church today? Because usually we have a meal, you know, at the church when we do the Lord's Supper, right? And we're not, by the way. Why? I'm going to blame the kids on it because, like, they were here and we couldn't get set up for it. But actually, it's because of COVID, you know, and so I know we're living in fear again. Or maybe you were thinking, hey, it's the fifth Sunday, and we do this on the fifth Sunday. Were you aware of that, by the way, that we do the Lord's Supper every fifth Sunday? I don't know if you're aware of that, but we do, ritualistically. And I mention it that way because I want us to be very, very careful that the Lord's Supper doesn't become just some type of ritual for us. I mean, why do we do this thing? You know, the bread and the cup. I mean, it's just because that's what we always do. We're supposed to do it. Jesus said you're supposed to do it. It's in the Bible there somewhere, right? What is this bread and this cup all about? If we're not careful with the ritual, it would become that. And by the way, that's what happened with God's people in the Old Testament. You know, we've been looking at these different sacrifices and offerings. And what happened was they tended to become just rituals that people did. Like, why do you offer the burnt offering? Or why do you offer the grain offering? Or why do you offer the peace offering? Why do you do that? Because that's what we do, right? And so God gave them these offerings, these sacrifices. But what happened was over the years, they just became mindless rituals. We do this because that's what we do. And the prophets came along and said, hey, folks, this is not what God is after. God's not looking, or he's not pleased with mindless ritual. That is religion, just doing the religious thing because it's the right thing to do. The prophet Isaiah, in the very first chapter of Isaiah chapter 1, down in verse 11, Isaiah said, and he's speaking on God's behalf, what are all your sacrifices to me, asked the Lord. I've had enough of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of well-fed cattle. I have no desire for the blood of bulls, lambs, and male goats. And that's really interesting because God is the one that told them to do it all. So why in the world? And then now God says, that's not what I'm interested in. So the question should be, okay, God, if that's not what you're interested in, if you're not interested in the ritual, what exactly are you interested in? And a contemporary prophet with Isaiah was a guy by the name of Micah. And in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, he says, mankind, he has told you what is good, and what is it that the Lord requires of you? To act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. In other words, what he's saying is what God is really looking for is a heart response to him that plays out in life. God is not impressed with our ritual. Whatever the ritual might be, and the ritual might be like just showing up at church. Why do we go to church? Well, because that's what I do. It's Sunday, and that's what I do. Or why do I give? Because that's what I'm supposed to do, right? Or why do we do the Lord's Supper or baptism or anything of this religion? Why do we do these things? Why do we act? What is it that really God is looking for in our lives? And it's not the ritual. It's the heart. And so, when we do things like the Lord's Supper, we want to make sure that our heart is right, is correct. And so this meditation that I want to share with you this morning is to help us set our hearts for the act, the sermon, that we're all going to preach. So these ceremonies and sacrifices that God gave his people. And remember, as they're laid out for us here in Leviticus, God has a purpose, and I shared that purpose with you a couple of weeks ago. It's found in the 20th chapter of Leviticus, verse 26. You are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I've set you apart from the nations to be mine. Listen to this. God is desirous. What God is looking for is a people for himself. He's drawing us to himself. He's not just looking for us to do something right, to show up at church or to do the ritual or whatever. He wants a personal relationship, and he invites us into that relationship, and he acts on that, all right? He acts on our behalf so that we might have a relationship with him, and he draws us into this relationship. But what he has to do within us is make us holy or whole. And I told you that word holy means whole. That is, we're fractured, we're broken. And so God has to put us together. And so what he does is he gave the people these offerings or these sacrifices as pictures to show what he's doing to put us back together. The first one was the burnt offering. And remember, we talked about the burnt offering being laid completely on the altar. So when you offered a burnt offering, the sacrifice was slain, and then it was completely consumed on the altar. And basically, it was God. The burnt offering was a picture of God saying, you belong to me. Remember? You are mine, 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 mine. God saying, I have chosen you for myself. You are my people. You are my person. You are my child, you're my man, you're my woman, you are mine. That's the picture of the burnt offering. And then the next offering was the grain offering, which is our response to him. It was the only bloodless sacrifice that was made, but it always came with the burnt offering. So with the burnt offering, God says, you are mine. And with the grain offering, God's people said, yes, Lord, we are yours. We belong to you. So it is our proper response to God, because God's invitation must be responded to. When God calls you, when God draws you to himself, you can say no thanks. You've got to respond. You've got to say yes, and that's the grain offering. And now comes the fellowship offering. In King James, it's called the peace offering, and quite honestly, I like peace offering a little bit better, but it is a fellowship offering. But basically, it included a blood sacrifice. The animal was slain. Part of the animal was burnt on the altar. Part of it was given to the priest. But the majority of the sacrifice was taken home by the person who was offering it. And so you made your sacrifice, and then you took the animal home, and you prepared a meal, and you would sit down and eat that meal with your family or your friends or whatever it was for. In fact, this is the only one of the five sacrifices we're going to look at in which the people of God actually ate the meat of the sacrifice. This is the fellowship offering. This is the peace offering. And the implication is, I mean, you know, you think of a meal or a fellowship meal, when you sat down after the peace offering, you sat down to eat the meal, it was like God was sitting there with you. And so the fellowship is, we're not only having fellowship with one another, we're having fellowship with God. And so this is the way we relate to God, as we sit together in fellowship. Now, let me just point out, maybe you can see how this relates to the Lord's Supper. There is a table. There is a sacrifice. There is a meal. This is our fellowship together. In fact, we call this communion. Sometimes this sacrifice was called the community sacrifice. And so it is the communion or community that we share with God's people, with all of us together in the family of faith, and with God himself. So let's look at it. Let me just share a couple of verses. I won't read the entire chapter. This third chapter is devoted to this fellowship or peace offering. Verse 1 says, if his offering is a fellowship sacrifice. Now let me just pause right there and point out the first word of that verse. It's the word if. I want you to know that this sacrifice was not required. You might give it, you might not. If you didn't give it, you weren't any less of a child of God. If you did, you weren't any more. It's kind of like the Lord's Supper. If you partake, it doesn't make you a better Christian. If you don't, it doesn't make you any less of a Christian, okay? So there is some purposes and reasons for it, and there are some spiritual issues that are going on here, but it is not something that is salvation dependent or that impacts our salvation one way or another, our relationship with God. So he says, if his, that is your offering, is a fellowship sacrifice, and he is presenting an animal from the herd, and this would be a bovine or a calf or a heifer, whether male or female, he is to present one without blemish before the Lord. He is to lay his hand on the head of the offering and slaughter it at the entrance to the tent of meeting. And then Aaron's sons and the priest will splatter the blood on all sides of the altar. He will present part of the fellowship sacrifice as an offering of fire to the Lord, the fat surrounding the entrails, all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat on them at the loins. He will also remove the fatty lobe of the liver with the kidneys. Aaron's sons will burn it on the altar with the burnt offering. This is on the burning wood, a fire offering of a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Now, so first of all, this offering might be from the herd. That is, it might be a calf, and it could be a male or female cow, okay? But it could also be a lamb or from the flock. And so the next couple of verses, beginning in verse 6, tells us basically the same thing. You do exactly the same way. If it's not a cow, then it could be a lamb, male or female. Or if you wanted to, if you decided you wanted to have some cabrito, you could have a goat. And so down in verse 12, it gives the exact same thing. If it's not a cow, if it's not a lamb, it could be a goat. It could be male or female. And there's some significance to that I don't have time to go into today, but it could be a cow, it could be a lamb, it could be a goat. And you do it all the same way. You offer, the sacrifice is slain, the blood is offered around the altar. Part of the sacrifice is burnt on the altar, part of it goes to the priest, and then you take the rest of it home and you have a meal with your family, with your friends, and with your God. Now, I want to give you the last two verses. I want you to see them down in verse 16. Then the priest will burn the food on the altar as a fire offering for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. All fat belongs to the Lord. This is a permanent statute throughout your generations. Wherever you live, you must not eat any fat or any blood. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, there is the fellowship offering. It could be any type of animal that you might raise. You would not offer a bird as a fellowship offering because you're not going to eat that bird. You can offer birds in other areas or other types of sacrifices, but not as a fellowship offering because you're going to eat it. It's either going to be a cow, it's going to be a lamb, it's going to be a goat. And then there are the procedures that are the way that you offer it. Now, there were a couple of reasons that you would give the fellowship offering or that you would bring it to the Lord. First of all, it might be a thanksgiving offering. And you're actually going to see this if you go over to chapter 7, and I'm going to show you a couple of verses there in just a moment, but all of this is explained. You might give it as a thanksgiving. So God has done something to you, or you have a relationship with him, and you just want to say, thank you, Lord, as part of your worship to him, okay? A thanksgiving offering would be a fellowship offering, where you just come and say thanks, and then you're going to go and you're going to sit down at a meal with your God and with your family as we relate life together. Thanksgiving offering. It might also be a votive offering. It's called votive, which actually means a response to a vow. And the way this thing worked was if God answered prayer. So as a child of God, you're praying to the Lord. Maybe something's going on in your life. Maybe you've lost your job and you need a job, and so you're praying and asking the Lord to give you a job. Or maybe you're asking him to give you a spouse, or maybe you're asking him for some, maybe, so as you pray, you're laying your request out before the Lord, and when God answers that prayer, how do you respond to God when you experience answered prayer? You know, honestly, for a lot of us, and this is very instructive to us, a lot of us, we know about prayer, but we're not sure about answered prayer. And you know the reason? Not because we don't journal our prayers. So when God answers, a lot of times we don't even know it or we don't think about it. If you're journaling and you're journaling your prayer, now what you're able to do is go back and look and see how God has answered that prayer. Because, beloved, you always want to come back to the Lord with answered prayer. When he answers that prayer, you want to come back and worship him and give him glory for that. And that's the votive aspect of the fellowship offering. So you have answered prayer. You're going to give a fellowship offering. Third thing is just called free will. And that is, you don't necessarily have any reason. It's just, you just want everybody to know that you belong to the Lord. And you want to worship him, and maybe you want to have a meal at the house, and you want to invite family and friends, whatever it is. Maybe, you know, it's a special occasion or something. You're going to offer a fellowship offering, and you're just going to give glory to God because you relate to him. Now, what this fellowship offering did was it reminded God's people that every part and every aspect of their life related back to God. Not just my salvation. He saved me, praise God, burnt offering. I've responded to him by faith, grain offering. But now every part and every aspect of my life, whether it's up, whether it's down, whether it's joy, it's praise, whether it's answered prayer, whatever it is, every part of my life, I relate it back to God because, remember, I am his and he is mine. I belong to him, he belongs to me. This is the fellowship offering, and it shows us who and what we are in Christ Jesus. Now, as we come to the Lord's table this morning, let me just mention three things and just kind of show you how all this relates together. And maybe help us to understand what we're doing here. And I want to tell you that ultimately, the end result here is the response. It's not just taking the juice and the bread, okay? We're going to do that. But the question is how am I responding to the Lord? What does my heart look like as I come before Him today? That's ultimately the question and what's going on here, okay? Three things I want to show you about the fellowship offering that relates to the Lord's table. Number one is this: God is the host. God is the host. Now, He's the host because it belongs to Him, and everything belongs to Him. I mean, if you think about it this way, if I were to come over to your house and we sat down at your table and we ate your food, I could not be the host. I couldn't be because it's not my house, not my table, it's not my food, right? So I'm coming to your house, your table, your food, you're the host. Now, with the fellowship offering, what happened was you would bring it before the Lord, and you would lay your hands on it, the animal would be slain. So you're identifying with this sacrifice, and then the blood is taken and it's poured out around the altar. And then part of it is offered to the Lord on top of the burnt offering. So first the burnt offering is offered. In fact, you would never offer a fellowship offering apart from the burnt offering because you're saying, or God is saying, you belong to me. The grain offering is then offered. Yes, I belong to you. And now the fellowship offering is laid on top of it, and it's just a portion of this animal, but in doing so, you're saying that this belongs to the Lord. This belongs to the Lord. And I want you to see how this works out. First of all, there's the blood. All the blood is captured, and all the blood is poured out to the Lord. Why? Well, the scripture, in fact, let me give you a verse. It's Leviticus 17:11. It says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have appointed it to you to make atonement on the altar for your lives, since it is the blood, since it is the lifeblood that makes atonement." The life is in the blood. And so as we captured the blood and we poured it out before the Lord, basically what we're saying is life is comes from the Lord. God gives it, God takes it. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Life is in the hands of God. My life is in the hands of God. As I laid my hand on this sacrifice and it was offered, I was identifying through it, with it. As that it was slain and its life blood was poured out before the Lord, I'm basically admitting that my life is poured out before the Lord, it belongs to Him. And then you took the fat. And there's different parts, and for some of us, it might gross us out. It talked about the liver and the kidneys and all that stuff. You would go to the internal parts of this animal and you'd strip the fat out, all the fat. In fact, the last part of verse 16, all the fat belongs to the Lord. It's kind of funny. When I read this verse, I never forget when I was a kid and my dad was pastoring in Weatherford. He had a good friend named Hollis Shoemake who loved the Lord, and Hollis would come and he would sing and he would preach. Hollis was a fairly large man. Okay, let me just put it that way. He's a fairly good-sized guy. And he would say, "I know some of y'all are worried about my weight, but the scripture says all the fat belongs to the Lord." And so he says, "I just take solace in that." So for some of us, I just offer that. God bless. The fat represents the richness or the fullness of life. So the blood is life. The fat is the richness or the fullness of life. The psalmist says in Psalm 63:5, "You satisfy me with rich food." And that verse there are those words, rich food there. The Hebrew word is one Hebrew word, and it literally means with the fatness. You satisfy me with the fatness. That's the goodness. That's like the gravy. And I love gravy. That's the gravy of life, right? It is just the stuff that makes life good. And it comes from the Lord. So when I pour the blood out before the Lord, I'm saying my life belongs to you. When I'm burning the fat on the altar, I'm saying that all the goodness, everything that I've received in my life, it comes from God. Everything that is a blessing, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, right? It all belongs to Him. And so as I lay all of this on the altar, my life, my very existence, all the blessing of life, all the things that God has given me, as I lay all this on the altar, I'm saying it all belongs to Him. This is the fellowship offering. And as I sat down at a table and I recognize that table comes from the Lord, everything I've got here in this house comes from the Lord, even the house itself. So God Himself is the host at the fellowship offering. Now, the Lord's table is the Lord's table. Okay? Now, you get this, right? So we're coming to the Lord's Supper. We call this thing a supper. This is a piece of bread and some juice. How's that a supper, right? It's because of what you're feasting on. And the table is the table of the Lord. In fact, let me just remind you that the very first Lord's Supper, when Jesus met with His disciples in that upper room on that final night. And by the way, the Passover sacrifice was a fellowship offering. Because you would offer the animal, you'd offer the blood, and then you would take the lamb home and you would roast it at home and you would eat it at home. You're eating it with the Lord because He's the one that's hosting everything. At that Passover meal, when the Lord Jesus took the bread and the cup and he translated or transformed it into the Lord's Supper. You remember in Luke chapter 22, verse 15, He said, "I have eagerly desired," or fervently desired, "to eat this Passover with you." Jesus was the host. And He invited the disciples to come and sit with Him in this fellowship meal. Beloved, that is the Lord's Supper. We are His guest. He's the host. And you're invited to come and sit with the Lord. And I just want you to think about this for just a second. That the God of heaven, the God of the universe, the God of all glory, who calls you friend, by the way, would say, "Hey, why don't you come over to my house and let's sit down, let's have a meal together." Right? I mean, what does that mean? You don't do that with just everybody, just people you know and you have a relationship with. That the God of glory invites you to His table. That's all I want to say. God is the host. Second thing this morning, there is a cleanliness factor. Cleanliness is required here. In fact, I mentioned that in chapter 7, there's some additional directions here for the fellowship offering. And it actually talks about this, about when you would give it and what needs to happen here. I just want to give you a couple of verses down in verse 19 of chapter 7. It says, "Meat that touches anything unclean must not be eaten. It is to be burned. Everyone who is clean," underline clean there, "may eat any other meat, but the one who eats meat from the Lord's fellowship sacrifice while he is unclean, that person must be cut off from his people." So watch this. If you come to the Lord's table, you come to this fellowship meal unclean. And we're not talking about unclean in the classical sense of leprosy. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about being clean. And so what would happen is, you know, the folks in Old Testament times, they took this literally, and they would literally take a bath. They had something called the mikvah. And when we were in Israel a couple of years ago, in almost every place we went, we found the ritual bath. This is what the folks would do. They would not only clean themselves up, but then they would get down in this ritual bath, and basically they were symbolizing, we're cleaning ourselves. And then we put on clean clothes. Because you don't come into God's presence with dirty clothes. You know, what we would call this is a Sunday go to meeting clothes. You know, when I was a kid, man, you know, before we went to church on Sunday morning, on Saturday night, you know, Dad would get me and my brother together and we'd polish our shoes. And then, you know, Mom would lay out my little suit with tie and everything because, you know, you wore your best into the presence of the Lord. You didn't come bebopping into God's presence. There weren't no shorts and flip-flops and that kind of stuff. You know, when you come into the presence of God, right, you dress up, you put on your best. And beloved, I'm not talking about what we're wearing on the outside, okay? I don't honestly care. You wear whatever you want to on the outside. Some folks back in the Old Testament times, they would borrow garments from the priest, or they might have some special, you know, celebratory clothes to wear. But all of that was just a symbol of the inside. The cleanliness that God was concerned about was not external cleanliness. It was internal. Remember, this is what God wants. He's looking at the heart. It's our heart response to God that God is interested in. You're gonna see how this plays out when you go to the Gospels. And remember, on that night before he was crucified, Jesus met with his disciples in that upper room. They're having the Passover meal. The fellowship sacrifice has been offered. They're having this fellowship meal. What happens in John 13? Remember that? Jesus, right in the middle of the meal, he gets up and he takes his garment off. He's the host. Takes his garment off. Jesus, what are you doing? He goes over and puts on a slave's towel. Picks up a basin of water, and then he goes along and he begins to wash the feet of the disciples. Remember that? He's acting like a slave now. He's the host. He gets to Peter, and Peter says, "You ain't gonna wash my feet. Never. You will never wash my feet." And Jesus says, "Okay. But if I don't wash your feet, you can't have any part of me." And then Peter says, "Okay." So he goes the other way. He says, "Okay, then give me a bath." If that's what it takes, man, give me a bath because I want all of you, right? And remember what Jesus said? He said, "You're clean, it's just your feet. Let's get your feet." Now, he wasn't talking in a physical sense. He was talking spiritually. Beloved, you are clean by the blood of Jesus. Sin is what dirties us. But when Jesus died on the cross and the blood is applied, the cleansing blood of Jesus takes away, washes away, cleanses us from all sin. But then we walk in the world and we sin. We still sin. You're still a sinner, a redeemed sinner, a saved sinner, but still a sinner. And so you get dirty feet. And so you got to clean your feet. How does that work out when it comes to the Lord's Supper? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul said, when you come to the Lord's table, let a man examine himself. Now, he wasn't just talking to men. He's talking to women as well. Let us all examine ourselves. And then he says, because if you eat or drink of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner or unworthily, you eat and drink damnation upon yourself. Now, we have a tendency to just skip over that. What's that all about? We don't understand that. But what he's saying is his heart is critical here. If you're just going to do a ritual, you're just going to do something cool. You just go ahead and pretend and act like you're doing something special for God and then go on your way. It don't mean anything. But I've done something for you, and that is I've given my life for you, Jesus says. And when you come before me, let's wash our feet. And that's why God gives us the opportunity to confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is why we give an invitation before we take the Lord's Supper, because I want to give us an opportunity to respond to God, to the Word of God. And what I would encourage every one of us to do is to just consider our own heart. Is my heart right with God? And if there's any unconfessed sin, I'm going to confess that before the Lord, and I'm going to get it out, so that my feet might be clean, so that I can come as a clean vessel before the Lord to testify to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. If I don't do that, Paul said, I eat and drink damnation to myself. God tells us back here in the 7th chapter of Leviticus that you got to be cut off from God's family. In other words, God ain't having none of that. All right? So there is a cleansing thing that needs to take place before I come to the table, all right? Last thing. This is a celebration of peace. The fellowship offering, or the peace offering, only came after the burnt offering, the grain offering. So the burnt offering is God's provision for me, God saying, you belong to me. This is what I've done for you. Grain offering, my response to God, yes, I belong to you. Now the fellowship offering. Now that I'm right with God, now I've responded to him, I can sit down with him at the table. In fact, I mentioned a moment ago, this is called the communion offering sometime. What do we call this on occasion? Or what do some faith groups call this? They call it communion, right? Communion with who? Not just with each other, with God. So I'm coming into communion with God. It's sometimes called the community offering, and that is the reason we do the Lord's Supper together. We don't do this in isolation. I'm not going to go home tonight and go, oh, I think I'm going to have the Lord's Supper by myself. It doesn't work that way. We do this together. We do this with the Lord. So basically, this body and blood of Christ become a testament of my life. And this is why I tell you that you preach the sermon. Paul said there in that 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians that you show the Lord's death till he comes. In other words, you're saying as you take the bread and the cup, Jesus died, praise God, he died for me. And he lives within me. And now I have peace with God. Watch this. I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do I have peace with God, now I have the peace of God. You can't have the peace of God unless you have peace with God. Peace with God comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you receive the peace with God, you receive the peace of God. This is why the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14 says, peace I leave with you, my peace. Now remember, this is in the context of that fellowship offering, John 14. And they're having this fellowship meal, and he says, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. How does the world give peace? It gives it externally and temporarily, and then it takes it back, and then there's no peace. That's the way the world gives it. It's just temporary. He says, I'm going to give you peace. And it's going to be complete, and it's going to be total, and it's going to be forever. Not just peace with God, the peace of God. So he says, don't let your heart be troubled. In fact, this peace is regardless of whatever else is going on externally. And let's just be honest about it. Some of us are sitting here today. Our lives are being ripped apart. This world is doing its number on us. Things are going on in our family, at school, work, maybe even in the church. I mean, there's stuff to rip us and tear us apart, but the peace that passes all understanding, God's peace, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, is for those who know him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul said, he is our peace. He's talking about Jesus. He is our peace who made both groups one. And the both groups is God and us. He made us one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. So watch this. Jesus fulfills the fellowship offering. Do you see how that works? He fulfills the fellowship offering because he is our peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. And when you come and sit at the Lord's table, you come as somebody, and I mean that figuratively, we're not all going to be able to sit around this table, but right where you are, I want you in your mind seeing this fact. You are sitting at the table of the Lord with the Lord. You are invited to come as one who has peace. Even if your life is literally falling apart on the outside, that peace that passes all understanding, this table becomes our celebration of the peace that has been brought about through Christ Jesus. So, as we come to a time of response, of invitation, let me just ask you that question. Do you know the peace of God? Do you know his peace? Do you know God's peace? How can I know his peace? Jesus. If you would give your heart to Jesus, if you would put your faith and trust in Jesus, not only will he save you, not only will he give you eternal life as the blood that has already been poured out is applied to your life, the life is in the blood. He gives life. Jesus gives life. But with that life comes peace. Do you know God's peace? Have you given him your life? So the invitation this morning is to know Jesus. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, I'm going to give an invitation and invite you to come to him. Now, child of God, we're going to come to the Lord's table here in just a moment. You're invited to come, all right? Everybody who knows Jesus is invited by the Lord to come to sit at the table of the Lord. But let's get our feet clean. So the altar is open. You might need to come and just bow at this altar. Maybe there's unconfessed sin. Maybe there's something else you need to get right with God. However that is, as our feet get washed clean, child of God, as we prepare for the table of the Lord. Father, I would ask right now, as you move in this place in our hearts and lives, that our answer to you might be yes, and Lord, that in you, for those who don't know you, we'd find peace. For those who do, Lord, we might find cleansing, so that we might be ready to offer the fellowship offering. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.